You're listening to Haze Radio Network, Cannabis Lifestyle Radio.
So we're live, CWCBE. It's kind of cool to come down and check out all the different cannabis stuff that's going on and everybody in the industry. And lo and behold, the first person I get to see is my buddy Brian from LA Cannabis News. What's going on, my brother?
Hello, Andrew. Thank you for having me on your lovely radio station here at the CWCBE Expo.
Yeah, absolutely, man. What do you were you kind of excited about coming in? You think it was going to be pretty busy? Like, what were your first, I guess, thoughts when you were thinking about coming down?
Traffic.
No shit, right?
That was my first thought.
The timing is crazy. It would take like 40 minutes or an hour and a half.
Well, for really? You, it probably could take like 3 hours.
Oh, my God. Oh, if I went for my house, yeah. Absolutely. That'd be fucking nuts and shit. tell everybody who hasn't, heard about LA Cannabis News or yourself a little intro about what, you know, who you are and what you've been doing.
Sure. So we're LA Cannabis News. We're a localized media company here in Los Angeles. We cover the local news, jobs, events, resources of Los Angeles, mainly in the social equity, regulations, crime, black market, all the good things that are happening within the cannabis and hemp industries within Los Angeles and Southern California.
Hell yeah. And how long has it been around?
Well, it's been, it was actually a year ago almost that I was actually, I think it was almost a year to the date that I was on your show when I first,
When I first came on.
Actually,
it was longer than that.
I think it was in August.
Because it came in, but not during the CWCBE.
No.
Because I remember you might have even said hello to me the last time that we had the booth here last year. I don't remember. Did you come last year?
No, I don't know. No, I wasn't here last year. The year before scared me.
Yeah. Nice. The year before scared you? Because it wasn't a lot of people, or what do you
well,
think?
Well, it was more of a, it's a B2B aspect here. There's no consumer action here.
No, it's all business.
It's all business. And at the time, I was a consumer.
Sure.
I wasn't in the business yet.
Sure.
I was still a consumer, so I'm walking around thinking there's going to be free weed everywhere. And
I
found out there's just free sunglasses. And
Not like High Times.
No.
Or all the events that they have going on.
No, not at all. But I've had some CBD hard candies and some other fun items.
Are you finding year after year there's more creative stuff and competition, or do you find that there just seems to be a lot of the same stuff?
I think it's a lot of the same stuff, and I think there's more, there's interesting here. There's booths here that have nothing to do with the cannabis industry.
Really? I didn't even actually notice. What did
there's,
pop up?
I got some people to stick some crap on my eye here, some like eye shade stuff. And
okay.
As I'm walking around, I'm seeing that there's more like skincare companies.
But is it CBD based or just skincare
general? Skincare general.
Really? Wow.
And it was very strange that they're here. There's also obviously some people from the other side in the Asian community here that are covering all the knockoff products.
Oh, really?
I mean, like all the CBD, the cartridges and the batteries, all the ones that you find that are having problems and stuff. There's a lot of companies here that are, nobody knows the backgrounds of these companies.
But do you have, you've been kind of being investigative about certain ones or no? We don't have to call anybody
we're not going to call any names out, but there's some interesting companies here, just of the stuff that I've seen lately happening in the vape world. And some of the cartridge, white label companies, I guess you call them here.
Sure.
What they got going on. It's interesting. There's so many cannabis conferences now.
There's so many, right?
This week alone, it's almost
confusing.
Yeah,
right?
It's very confusing.
And it's confusing on what to go to or what or how you want to or what you want to.
Yep.
Are you an individual that's looking to, hey, what am I going to do to get into the cannabis industry, right? And then you have all these businesses and these investors and all these rich guys that want to, put a fund together or this or do something to get into cannabis. But a lot of them have no fucking idea what to do, right? I mean, right? Is that mainly they just throw an idea up in the air and it fucking sticks?
I think so. There's all sorts of different types of cannabis company or, cannabis industry companies here. So, it feels like there's some of these companies here is literally they threw an idea up against the wall and it stuck and they decided to roll with it and spend thousands of dollars in marketing. And here they are today.
I know. And would you say, in your opinion, if you had a ratio, how many out of 10 pop up and truly aren't going to survive? What would you say?
Of the people here today?
Let's say people getting into the cannabis industry and starting a cannabis business, one out of every 10, let's say out of every 10 people, how many will actually find success? And how much of that ratio would you think are just people that end up putting all their money in and then fucking being broke and just thought they'd be super rich off of the cannabis rush?
There is, number one, there's a huge amount of people that thought they were going to be super rich off this cannabis rush. The people that are making the money, unfortunately, are all the lawyers and the accountants.
The lawyers are cleaning
it up
like motherfuckers.
The accountants are cleaning it up right now.
How much they charge to write, you know, 15 or 20 pages, mm-hmm. or let's say 25 pages, mm-hmm. right, for an application.
Oh, yeah. There's
no guarantee. And, you know, they read what the points are, and they read how, you know, one goes to be scored. Mm-hmm. But anyone could do that.
Yeah.
And in the end, when they actually read everything and look over everything, do you really think who the lawyer is that wrote it?
Oh, yeah.
Is that
it's
much
a paralegal.
Not even the lawyer. But with the lawyer's stamp name, do you really think that that is a guarantee? Not at all.
No. And then back to your ratio of how many companies will survive. I see it much like the startup industry. So in the startup industry, in the mobile app world, usually they say there's about 600,000 new mobile apps every year.
Wow.
5% of those actually make it onto the Apple iStore or the Apple Store and to the Google Play Store.
So you're saying to actually even make it to Google Play in that type of a situation, wow.
Yeah.
You're saying that it doesn't.
It's about 30,000 apps a year make it to Google Play and to the iStore.
Really?
That many. But then in the first 30 days, there's usually about a 90% drop-off rate. So my point is at the end of all of this, just like in the startup world, I think it's 96.7 or 97% of startups fail. So I see that much in the cannabis industry as well. I think between 93 and 95, maybe 96% of the companies in the cannabis industry fail.
And not only that, what you were saying about the thing about the apps.
Yeah, yeah.
One, it's hard to get an app on Google Play or Android, but I do have to tote that Haze Radio.
Yep.
Go to your iPhone or Android store, type in Haze Radio, and you can check out our app. But
I enjoy it thoroughly. You should download it today.
On top of it, though, you got to look at the reality. If it's that hard to get an app, how much harder it is to be accepted to Apple or them for a weed-related app?
Mm-hmm.
What is that even? Right? Maybe a couple hundred if that, right?
And there's not that many. I haven't really seen any cannabis. Too many. I haven't really looked, to be honest, but I haven't seen too many cannabis apps other than, you know, the Haze Radio.
Sure.
There are some apps out there.
Well, there's like Leafly. But you can Google down Leafly, right?
You
can
get. You don't need to go on the app.
Oh, you don't. You can bypass the app store. And a lot of people do that. They make apps, but they never get into the Google store. So if you can't even get there, that makes it really hard to get people to download it, right?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
It doesn't feel like it's a reliability factor. You know what I'm saying?
I agree.
Unbelievable. Any shout outs to friends or family out there? Anybody want to say what's up to?
Just to the entire Los Angeles cannabis community. And to, that's it. Maybe my girlfriend. Hello to my girlfriend.
To the girlfriend. All right, what's up?
What's up? Other than that, I'd just like to tell Los Angeles to keep up the bad work, and we'll continue to fail as a city in this cannabis market.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. Shout out to LA Cannabis News. Download it. Check it out. And subscribe.
Yes, please. LACannabisNews.com. And check us out on social media as well.
Let's go take a little smoke break, and I'll be back soon enough.
You're listening to Haze Radio Network. Cannabis Lifestyle Radio.
It's always nice to talk to different people from the cannabis industry. I have Nidia
Arvizu.
I didn't want to mess it up. Why don't you tell everybody what brought you over to the CWCBE today?
Well, I'm a trademark attorney. I have offices in Pasadena, and I wanted people to know that the law changed recently with respect to CBD-related products.
Sure.
Certain products are now allowed to be registered federally.
Okay.
As of this year, so
sure.
It's months new. There's been a flood of applications.
Sure.
Since then, so I wanted to encourage people who initially didn't think they could get their stuff registered. Now they can, relating to CBD. You can work with attorneys too to be creative and get your marks, even if you don't do CBD, but anything something related.
Sure.
And in that way, reserve your marks. Also, there's now talk of having an increase in the cost to apply for marks and other things at the trademark and patent office. So
if somebody wanted to do that, why don't you break down a little bit on what the costs are incurred for someone that wants to do something like that?
The attorney's fees vary.
Okay.
If you go to a big firm, you're going to have big prices.
Sure.
If you go to a medium firm, small firm will have less overhead. So
but
your
overall,
attorney fees.
If you gave a range from lowest to highest.
From lowest would be about $950 for the whole application. Highest would be, I would say, $1,500, $1,600.
Okay.
Again, it varies. And it varies what type of mark you need. If you have strictly a word mark versus if you need a logo attached to it.
Okay.
There,
so that's important. People don't realize that the logo and the name are two different costs.
It's a higher cost if you have a logo.
Sure. Oh, okay, it's a higher cost.
Right.
But when you do the logo, you get the word mark with it?
When you do the logo, you can also, if your word is included, you can describe it. And so you'd have to describe what words are in there. So, yes.
Okay. Question. Can one trademark a song title?
You can trademark a song title, and it would depend, though, on how you used it. So if you have a song title and you're selling t-shirts that have a tag with the song title on it, you could trademark the song title.
If it was more in a sentence, though, right? Not if it was an individual word or like saying, you know, like, what's your favorite song, let's say, for example? Song title. Just pick any.
Hotel California.
Okay, Hotel California, right? Could you trademark that name?
Yes, but again, you have to look at how you're using it.
Sure.
So if you, in Costa Rica, go to Costa Rica, there's tons of hotels, and they're called Hotel California.
Sure.
You
sure.
can, and those people, if they have their hotel in the United States, they can trademark Hotel California for their hotel.
For their hotel.
If so you'd have to attach it to goods or services.
Sure. It has to be attached to something. And then our other gentleman, why don't you say hello?
Hello, how you doing? Well, I'm Dr. Marlon Thomas.
And doctor of?
Bioengineering.
Bioengineering, interesting. So explain to the layman what bioengineering is.
So I'm specialized in developing sensors, but also developing formulation. So I recently developed a formulation for a personal product, which is a personal lube, particularly targeted to women.
Okay.
From hemp.
A little closer.
Okay, sorry.
Yeah, perfect. So a lube for women made out of hemp.
Yes.
And you bioengineered it. What makes it different than the other things that are coming out in the market?
Well, first, it's 100% organic. All the ingredients are also edible, if you're into that kind of stuff. And the formulation is made not to necessarily lube a person, but to induce your own natural secretions.
Oh, wow. Very interesting. And do you already have a packaged product?
I have a packaged product, but I need a patent.
But you need a patent. And look who you have sitting right next to you. You guys should hook up and see what you guys could do together for sure. Do you have a, so you don't really have a website yet or anything?
I do.
Kind
I
of
do.
What is it?
The website is www.newberryfarm.store.
And then as far as you, for your attorney services and legal services, right?
Correct.
How would they reach out to you?
I have a website as well. It's ipcouncil.us.
ipcouncil.us. Nice. So if they're interested into getting, you know, patent, trademarks, things of that nature, you have very competitive rates, let's say.
Correct. I'm a sole practitioner, so I'm on the low end. I have very little overhead. That doesn't mean I'm not quality. I'm good at what I do.
Yeah, for sure, for sure.
Can I get a business card?
Yeah.
Of course, and I'll take yours.
And then
I'm
interested.
You
guys could swap out. I'll take both of your cards also, so I know how to spell your name on the cast. But my question, you know, what I'm wondering about, let me see here. So Marlon, what did you do before? This is an interesting thing that I like to ask people, was what did you do before you got into the cannabis industry? Because you all of a sudden telling me now you're jumping into lube for women. I got to know, what did you do before this?
I actually was a professor of biomedical engineering.
Wow. Professor of biomedical engineering. Did you teach?
Yes, I did.
So teaching for how long?
Almost 6 years.
Almost 6 years.
Yes.
And if your students could know that you kind of stopped the education practices to get into the cannabis industry, would they be surprised?
I bet they'd get a kick out of it.
Yeah, they would get a kick out of it, right? That's great. Do either of you, do you have a shout out, friends and family, anybody you want to say hello to?
I'd like to shout out my wife, my father-in-law, and my brother-in-law who are here with me today.
Great. And you?
I'd like to shout out to my dad, who's home taking care of my two-year-old while I'm here at the cannabis convention.
Nice, nice. Shout out to dad for all you do and all those people that are out there pursuing the cannabis industry. My name is Andrew Pitsikalis. This is the Haze Radio Spotlight. And before I jump off, got to give a shout out to one of our sponsors, Ryan. You want to say hello? Say what's up? How you doing? You came in from Arizona to check out this cool convention and bring the rosin bomb, right?
Yeah,
got to let these people know what rosin is, right? And how to press it correctly.
Yeah, absolutely.
Solventless. And that is the key. That is the key. And Ryan will be joining me throughout the 3 days we have here at the convention and checking out all the different people that we got going on. And can't press any bud at this show, but you know, you'll be able to see us press bud at other events. They got all through California at High Times and other different events where you get to squish your favorite buds with the rosin bomb for sure. Thank you guys. I think it's about time to, I have my like threshold when I got to go take a little break and have a little smoke and a little snack.
Yeah.
Thank you guys so much for coming on and download Haze Radio and check
Thanks
out Haze
us.
Radio Network for sure. Thank
Haze
you guys.
Radio.
Absolutely.
Haze Radio.
You're listening to Haze Radio Network, Cannabis Lifestyle Radio.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So we're live, CWCBE. I got my buddy, Scott Jordan. What's going on, my man?
Hey, things are good. Things are good. First day of the show. Looks like it's going to be a lively event.
Obviously, for
sure. Anytime you're in the house, I know it's got to be the right place to be.
We were just talking outside that the first event that we met each other was 2015. And now we're in 2019, almost like finishing up the year to 2020. And 5 years have gone by. And I think between the both of us combined in that many years, we must have spoken at least, what do you think, 50 or 100 combined, or maybe like 50 shows at least? Like,
yeah.
How many shows do you think? In all the years up, you stacked up 5 years. It's got to be even more than that, right?
Probably. I mean, you
at
know,
least
I see you.
10 a year or no, right?
I would say about, yeah. I try to go to about one show a month or so, and
you know,
always seeing you there.
Backed up,
representing.
Why don't you, and you're speaking today.
Tomorrow.
At tomorrow.
Yep.
Here at the convention. Why don't you let everybody know what your topic is?
Sure. I'm talking about how do you get the money in order to be able to start, grow, and successfully run your marijuana business, since it's a difficult task to find debt-based funding. And that's really what I specialize in and focus in on, is how do you get a loan, an equipment lease, a real estate mortgage, so that you know, you can make your dream come true.
Absolutely, absolutely. So as far as real estate and mortgages, there really isn't, it's very difficult to get a loan, isn't it, essentially, if you relate it to the cannabis industry, because they pretty much knock you out. Even if you had a dispensary, even if you're making $1 million a month or whatever it is, and you can prove all the sales and prove everything you did, it's very difficult to get a loan, right?
You've got to know the right people. You know, it's sort of like in the old days when you wanted to buy some product. You know, you couldn't go to a store, let's say back in 1985. You had to know a guy or know a guy that knew a guy.
Sure.
And there's a lot of there's private money out there, but you've got to know how to connect into that. And that's what I've been doing successfully since really 2014. I started doing it full time, did my first marijuana loan back in 2009 in Denver.
And what was it? Let's talk about what that actually was, that loan.
Sure. It was a small loan to an existing grower out there. I think it was for $30,000 or so. And it was very difficult because back then banks lasted, you know, a month. They found out what you were doing, they shut you down, and all of a sudden, you know, you had to relocate, find another bank that you were hiding your account from. We happened to be first day after the Safe Banking Act passed the House. It'll be interesting to see if the Senate, you know, feels the same way, and we'll go ahead and pass that and open up banking. But similar to banking,
about that for those people who haven't recently watched the news. It's the first time something actually passed in, is it in the House of Representatives?
The House passed it overwhelmingly, I want to say like 309 to like 123. It's going to allow access to banking for the industry where the banks are not going to be penalized for hosting and supporting cannabis businesses. Right now, it's been a small cottage industry, mostly state-run credit unions that have allowed people to bank with them. And now it's going to open up to, you know, more banks will feel comfortable now that they're not going to be prosecuted for having cannabis customers as
now, when does it implement? You know, because I'm not familiar. Yeah. Like, if the House, you know, yeah, approves it, then blah blah blah. Like, when does it become official, or how does that go down?
It's got to now go through the Senate. That's going to be the challenge.
So it means it's
many
not
people
ready.
Think. It's not. No, it's not law yet. It's kind of the first step. We'll have to see if you know, the Republicans will go ahead and allow that to be implemented.
Now, is it within a certain time frame? Can they push it off? How does that go down? Like, when would it hit the Senate floor, let's say, for them to decide on something like this?
Well, they'll have a bunch of hearings now, and who knows what's going to happen with, you know, the current talk about impeachment, because that happened, you know, just a couple of days ago for people that are not listening.
Yeah, but you know what? Come on, let's talk about with Clinton and this and everybody back in the day. Presidents don't get impeached. Even down to the last minute, they're trying to impeach people and other presidents, and fucking, this shit never happens. It's not going to go down. I mean, I think it's a tactic to try to sway votes, you know, a different way, but I don't see it. Do you really see somebody getting...
There's a huge difference between what Clinton was accused of, which was, you know, oral sex, or having oral sex with someone, and the president compromising us with a foreign power and, you know, trying to put pressure on Ukraine in order to, help him politically with... you know, Biden was the leading, Democratic candidate. Now I understand Elizabeth Warren is, now ahead in the polls and trying to, provide dirt on him and then pressuring him with withholding aid that the Senate had already passed. So,
interesting.
It's a completely different deal. Puts the whole nation at risk as opposed to, you know, Clinton. Okay, you know, So he may have had oral sex from someone that, you know, in his office. You know, I'd much rather have a guy that was doing that than, and maybe
cutting deals with the Ukrainians, that, right? Is that what you're saying?
Yes, yes.
So. I got you. I got you. Now, do you think impeachment or not, you think for swaying votes, it's possible that Trump would legalize marijuana?
I think what he'll probably...
Right before the end, you know, like, just as a quick, like, yo, I'm the man to millennials and people, or no?
You know, with Trump, you never know what he's going to do until he actually tweets it out. I mean, you know,
sure.
He's changed his mind on a number of things, you know, and we'll just have to see. You know, there'll be a lot of political rumblings here, I think.
But,
you know, I'm really here to talk about, you know, how people can get money for their business, you know, what they need to do in order to hopefully, you know, make their dreams come true.
And if you are someone out there like that, that you're talking about saying, man, I want to get into this cannabis business. I love it. I'm passionate. I feel like I can do it. What is your advice to the average person? What are the first steps they need to at least understand or use as a criteria to know whether it's even feasible?
You know, the first thing they need to do is they need to put together a business plan, outline the cost in order to get started, and then double the costs and triple the timeline that it's going to take in order to get licensed, in order to, you know, get actually legal and official. Because in looking at a lot of plans and looking at helping people, it always costs at least twice as much, and it always takes three times longer, because you never anticipate the delays, you never anticipate some of the issues that consistently marijuana business owners face if you're touching the plant. If you're an ancillary business, it's a lot easier because you're not dealing with city officials, you're not dealing with a lot of the red tape and the governmental stuff that that takes advantage of really the time frame that that it takes and the money that it takes in order to get into business. And it's not an easy business in order to you know, to start and run. You better have funding, and you better have, you know, your funding lined up in order to help you. Most people start off with a their own capital and then friends and family round.
Yeah.
Don't expect, even if the Safe Banking Act passes, that banks and other financial institutions are going to fund your startup. You know, what's the trend has been now, there are so many deals out there that the private funding sources and the, you know, venture capitalists are looking for businesses that have already started, that need that have revenue, that just need some additional rocket fuel in order to push them
to really take it off.
Do
you have to have a ton of revenue, or just show the viability that you could bring money in?
Yes, as long as you have some revenue and some traction and some you know, specific unique selling proposition, there is a funder out there for you. It's a matter of, can you find them before you run out of time, patience, or money?
Absolutely. And then how do you know what to offer an investor if you are going to sell them, let's say, a percentage of your company so you could get that infusion? Is it better to sell a percentage of the company, or is it better to just get a interest rate from the broker or lender? How do you feel about that?
So I specialize in debt-based financing, so allowing someone to keep their equity. I deal mostly with companies that are, you know, existing and have, you know, some traction and some revenue, or have started out with some assets and now want to look at leveraging those assets and, you know, getting a loan against equipment or real estate.
Interesting.
You know, in terms of, and, you know, I can help startups if they have good credit, if they have, you know, low utilization of their, you know, current credit cards and current revolving lines of credit. Those are the kind of companies that I look for that can get up to about $200,000, $250,000 or so with a good credit score and low utilization of their, you know, current debt limits.
What kind of credit score are we talking about?
Really looking at 680 and above.
Okay.
You know, the higher the better. And you know, really someone that has the ability to repay the loan that they're, you know, looking to take out. I've got some 0% options, you know, available where you can borrow at 0% for anywhere from 9 to 15 months, and you know, can use it to get your business, you know, going and growing.
Wow. If someone was interested in utilizing you as a possible avenue, how would someone get in touch with you?
Probably the best way is through my email. My email is sjordan@alternativefinancenetwork.com, or the short version is sjordan@altfinnet.com. First three letters of alternativefinancenetwork.com. I'm on LinkedIn. I'm on Instagram as well. You can look me up, Scott Jordan.
And are you lending mainly to people in the cannabis industry, or are you venturing, let's say, outside of that?
I focus in on cannabis lending because it's such a need for people to be able to get, you know, financing for the industry. There's not many people that are providing that type of financing. I can help other industries as well, but really focus in on the cannabis businesses, because my passion is helping the underdog, helping people that really need the ability to be able to level up the playing field and be able to you know, get their piece of the American dream.
Nice.
And expand out to do that.
Hell yeah.
My grandmother taught me a long time ago, it's great to help the underdog, it creates good karma, and when not many people are doing something like that, it's a great thing to be able to do and help people. And I really want to help people at this, you know, point in my career. You know, helping people is more important than making money to me.
How many around, you know, how long did you start lending out? Was it
2015, I did my first loan to a little company down in Irvine. You probably heard of.
Which one?
Called Weed Maps.
Oh, no shit. Yeah. Really? Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
Wow. Get the fuck out of here. You got that. That's wild, right? Look at how big they are now.
And yeah, exactly. And they've kept all their equity. And
since then, how many around have you helped out, let's say, in the industry?
I've done about 70 deals worth about $31 million since then, and have helped companies like Spark up in San Francisco. They've got you know, a few dispensaries. We helped them expand. I've helped a 5-store chain up in Oregon called Khalifa expand.
I've heard of Khalifa, for sure.
Yeah, I've helped the clinic in Denver.
Now, of all those 70, just like any loan, and there's not always 100% success rate, have you had a lot of, let's say, foreclosures or not being able to pay back the loans and things of that nature? I mean, is your rate seem to be pretty good?
Thank goodness, knock on wood. I have not been informed of any defaults, and I check with my lenders consistently to find that. So I'm a middle person. What I do is I put together, I'm a matchmaker. I put together someone that needs capital with someone that has capital.
Has capital.
So I don't always see that, but I check in with my lenders, and the thing is people will not continue to support your customers if you bring them people that have defaulted. And so far, knock on wood, you know, I've been pretty fortunate in that instance not to have any defaults.
And picking the right people.
Picking the right horse, baby.
That's the key. Do you deny a lot of people?
I wouldn't say a lot, but I mean, what I try to do is I try to counsel people if they don't qualify for a loan, what they need to do in order to get qualified, and or get them into a partner or a co-signer that can help strengthen the application. Because many times people have a parent, a relative, someone else that believes in their cause that can help strengthen up the application. And just like when you graduate from college and you need a car and you want to go into a dealership but you don't have the right history, I remember my first car, my dad had to co-sign, and my dad was all over me. He goes, look, you better make this payment, you know, no matter what. That's the first payment that comes out of your checking account.
For sure, absolutely.
Back in the day, and thank goodness I repaid that, because it's an uncomfortable situation.
Now,
if, you know,
how often do the investors say, you know, there isn't too much money coming into a concept, but it's built, it's brought together, it's cool, and they're like, you know what, I can see that this has an incredible amount of potential, so I want to back it. Does that happen often?
Because I don't deal with highly speculative startup ventures like that, I send them over to you know, someone in my network that wants to take a higher risk profile. And when you have a high risk, you know, where you don't have traction, you don't have a proof of concept, you're going to give up equity, and it's going to be costly for you to be able to get that done. That's why I tell people, look,
because you'll be giving up too much equity. Well, is that what it ends up being? Or
yes, I mean, investors want to be compensated for risk. So I tell people, look, talk to someone in your family, in your circle of friends, that has a better credit score, that can get you the money. Give them up, you know, give up a little bit of equity or whatever you need to do to get some traction to be able to get to the next step, because you'll get a much higher valuation once you go ahead and are able to show that you've got revenue, you've got customers, you've got people that believe in you.
That's awesome. That's awesome. It's crazy how many companies are out there trying to raise money, and a lot of times it fails. And a lot of time, let's be honest, right? More than three quarters that raise money and build these things up and do this shit don't even last. Right? A lot of times.
You know,
you got a great ratio, but that doesn't happen that often, right?
Right, because I was dealing with established companies that had revenue and had traction. But if you look at the statistics put out by the SBA on non-cannabis businesses, you know, 50% fail in the first year, 80% fail after year three, 90% fail after year five. You know, it's a very difficult proposition.
90%. Whoa. And say that again to the stoners out there.
Most 50% fail after year one, 80% after year three, 90% after year five, because it's very difficult. You need a lot of different skills in order to run a business.
And to last 5 years, you're saying?
Yes. And so,
if a cannabis lasts is even a decade, harder. It's even crazy.
Because, you know, you've got so much more regulation, you've got so much more headwind in front of you to be able to make it happen.
And factors you don't necessarily know up front.
Correct.
A lot of added taxes, fees, filings, opinion, fucking codes, right? Just
a lot of
so
stuff.
So much shit, right?
Yep.
You could buy a building, right? You could get all this stuff that you need, think you could get it all, and then all of a sudden you don't get the right permits or this or that, and then all of a sudden you're what? Hundreds of thousands, if not millions of dollars in. And then you're fucking stopped at the pass.
Yep. It happens. It happens, and then, you know, the vultures come in and buy you for pennies on the dollar. So,
any shout-outs to friends and family?
Hey, Alex and Janessa, how you guys doing? My son is in Europe right now celebrating, and hope that you are having a great time and enjoying yourself.
Nice. Peace. What's the next show you're hitting after this?
Probably there's a CBD show in Denver that I'll be at in October. And
nice.
Hopefully I'll see you out there
broadcasting. October? I don't know if I'll be.
October 11th and 12th in Denver.
Ah, maybe.
Yeah.
I might. And then the CWCBE Boston, right?
Yep.
Are you going to that one?
I am not going to that one.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah, that's third week in October, right? Or something like that?
Right after that. Yep.
Hell yeah. So it was glad to talk to you, man. And,
always good to see you, Joe.
Always nice to see the familiar face around the shows.
Definitely.
And at least we know year after year we're not gone yet, right? So at least we made it past 5 years. I think we're good, right?
Yes. We are. Remember, alternativefinancenetwork.com for your financing needs in the cannabis industry. Thanks, Joe. Peace
hell
out,
yeah.
baby.
Let's peace.
All right.
You're listening to Haze Radio Network, Cannabis Lifestyle Radio Network.